2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell. College football season couldn't get here quick enough, so we're just going to keep talking about it. My heavens. Coming up at 4 o'clock, OC is going to join us. Sean O'Connell is going to join us and give us a little bit of a peek into the Pac-12 world. Of course, hosts a daily show on SiriusXM, Pac-12 Radio, and OC will join us in about 30 minutes. We'll talk about Utah and the lack of opportunities that it looks like is presented to them by the Vegas odds makers. They don't think they're going to go anywhere. Now they have Texas going to the national championship before Utah does. Makes no sense. USC, better shot than Utah does to get to the national championship, according to odds makers. Doesn't make any sense. But here we are. If you're one of those guys who's on Kyle Whittingham's staff, Scott, like he probably hires people to just look for stuff that we can act like we're the victim on. What can we find? What can we find to get a chip on our shoulder? They're not even giving us respect as college football playoff contenders. You know what? We're going to sneak up on them. We're going to get them. Now, I don't think you're sneaking up on anybody this year, but Kyle Whittingham certainly is. It's a wild thing. It's really, really wild. So let's go to this bowl projection, Scott. And I'm just absolutely fascinated by bowl projections because it can be just absolute the drop off. This is why when you were saying this point about the college football playoff, like you got to get more teams in there because it just makes everything more interesting. Instead, you have two or three teams who are really, really, really good, and then you have this next tier that is just way far off. And the bowls reflect that, right? Because right. You could go, I mean, and no better example of that is BYU. If they have an amazing season, if they go 11-1 and they lose, maybe that loss is to a really, really good Notre Dame team, I don't think they're going to the college football playoff like Michael Felder said. But I do think that a college football playoff could be in the works, or at least a really, really good bowl. But that is really hard because if they go 10-2, they're not going to a very good bowl. I mean, that's just the way it is. But in these projections, right off the bat here, give us the national college football playoff semifinals per CBS's first bowl projections going into the season here.
Well, so the Peach Bowl Fiesta out of the New York Six games, they're the designated.
Those are the semifinals.
Yeah, those are semifinal games, yeah. So you have in the Peach Bowl, Alabama versus Oklahoma. And then in the Fiesta Bowl, you have Ohio State versus Georgia.
No Utah.
And, of course, they've split up the two SEC schools.
So right. Sure.
You know, I mean, that's kind of
We've seen
that
this
works.
Before. Yes. We've seen Ohio State there. This is basically the CFP that we saw over the first couple of years.
Yes.
Of, like, the CFP. This is the old school 1-2 Alabama, Ohio State, 3-4 Georgia, Oklahoma. Now, swap out, like, a Clemson
but,
and maybe
but let's
you've
look
got
at this
too.
A little bit further, though, because you've got Oklahoma in a conference in the Big 12 that I think is a lot of parity. Baylor's pretty good. You're going to have that similar type of issue in the Pac-12 where there's going to be a beat up team. You know, you're just not going to go unscathed. I don't see how Oklahoma gets in the college football playoffs unless they're undefeated. If they're undefeated, fine, but I don't think they're going to be undefeated. And I'm not sure that Alabama or Georgia goes into this that way either. And I say that because you've got Texas A&M, maybe they're a better football team. Maybe Tennessee's getting to be a better football team. Maybe some of these, and you know, Florida potentially down the road. They're probably not there right now. But Alabama all of a sudden is going to have more competition. Is Ole Miss good enough? And maybe Kentucky. I don't know. But
right.
But these aren't going to be just cupcake walkthrough games for these teams. So potentially one of these two teams, Alabama, Georgia, could potentially have two losses. Two losses in that they have one loss going into the SEC championship game, and then they have two. So I'm not sure I'd see two SEC teams. Anyways, that's just kind of the way I see college football, the championship part of this.
So the
next games.
These are the interesting ones, right?
So the Rose Bowl's Michigan, Utah.
So that means that they were in the Pac-12 championship. The assumption is they were in the Pac-12 championship. They won it.
They had more than two losses. I think one loss Utah gets into the college football playoffs.
But they're probably, if this is the case, we're talking two losses during
two
the
losses.
Season. But a Michigan, Utah, boy, you talk about playing Ohio State 1 year and then Michigan another year in the Rose Bowl.
In the Rose Bowl, I mean, it doesn't get more iconic than that.
Pretty wild.
If you're not sold on Utah as a college football team, this is an amazing year for Utah doing that.
So what's wild too is they have USC and Cincinnati playing in the Cotton Bowl.
Yes,
which means that Utah and USC playing in the Pac-12 championship is what you've
probably
seen.
What happened.
And then the prediction also with this going off of probably how many losses there were is that they probably lost to USC regular season according to this model, and then came back and beat USC in the Pac-12 championship game.
Some version of that. But again, because the Pac-12 is not about North and South anymore.
They've got you. I know. So that's what I'm saying. They're playing. They could be playing each other.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
But the Cotton Bowl, a New Year's Six game, they've already put USC in one as an at-large team to get to the Cotton Bowl.
Right.
Texas A&M Baylor in the Sugar Bowl. That's like an old school, back in the old
doesn't it feel
Southwest
like Texas,
Conference
doesn't
days.
It feel like Texas A&M and Baylor should be in the Cotton Bowl? Wouldn't that be so much better?
Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, but that's an SEC Big 12 matchup situation usually. Could you imagine that? Texas A&M is the third or fourth place team in the SEC, and they go, I guess we'll play in the Sugar Bowl.
And the Cotton Bowl is at large, I guess.
Yeah, the Cotton Bowl would be – now, that might be one that if you're looking at some team to sneak in, maybe that's where BYU ends up if they go 11-1. I think they could be an 11-1.
It's possibly BYU could be in a Cotton Bowl.
New Year's Six game.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. Texas A&M, Baylor in the Sugar Bowl, Orange Bowl's Clemson, Notre Dame. Now, when I talk to you about the fall-off, if you're a team like BYU, you've seen the models and the predictions go anywhere between – 7 and 9 games. You have some people who, if they say 10 wins, then you're in a weird spot for BYU because a 10-win team, they could just dump you in a garbage bowl as well with that, because 2 losses as an independent BYU is just not enough, I don't think. Certainly for a New Year's Six game, but maybe ESPN doesn't move you up the list on another one of these games that's higher up. But from a local standpoint, Utah State and Central Michigan in the Idaho Potato Bowl. That's the prediction for the Aggies. And then they've got BYU playing San Jose State in the freaking Frisco Bowl.
And it's like one of the first bowls of the season.
Right. I mean, it's a typical day two of what bowl. December 17th. Yeah. And that's the thing, is that like a 9-win BYU team would be in a game like that. They would be at the slotted into, I don't know, what's another one? They've got another pool game. Hey, put them in the Bahamas Bowl. Let's go to that
or
one.
How about the first responders in Dallas? That's a pool bowl.
I don't like it. Oh, you know, the first Gasparilla Bowl. They could do the Gasparilla Bowl. Right? Oh, my heavens. The New Mexico Bowl? Get out of here. So, but that's what I'm saying, is that like the fall off is so far, and because there's so many affiliations between the Big 12, the Big 12 has their bowl affiliations, like the Alamo Bowl, or you know, you look at even like the Cheez-It Bowl would be an ACC opponent, the Texas Bowl would be an SEC opponent. All of these would be better options. The Liberty Bowl even would be an SEC opponent. And so these are all better options. And I don't know what the win total is going to be for ESPN to say, let's move some things around and make this pool game interesting for us. But right now, these bowl projections, if it ended like this, Scott, what would the season look like for all of these fan bases? For Utah fans, I know that we kind of see a lot of folks putting their nose up to another trip to the Rose Bowl, but come on. Like going to the Rose Bowl and playing Michigan would be as cool as it was last year, save the fact that it's their first time there. But if they could go back-to-back years to the Rose Bowl, that means they're back-to-back Pac-12 champions. Come on.
If it's a magical year and you have 1 loss and you don't get in, I think it'd be hard to swallow.
Disappointing.
But if you end up with a couple of losses, and maybe one of those losses is a non-conference to Florida, you know, and so it doesn't hurt your Pac-12 standing, and you end up in the Rose Bowl again. If you've ever been to the Rose Bowl, which I have.
Which Utah has, it's
pretty amazing. It's
imagine Utah fans, Scott.
If that's the consolation prize, you know, that you just can't argue that.
Imagine Utah fans.
And then if they win it, that even makes it better.
Imagine Utah fans, like you were saying, you go 11-1 and you're left out of the college football playoff. That would hurt.
Buffy, I think we'll take the second jet. Because we're only going to the Rose Bowl again. We're playing Michigan, dear. No, it's not Ohio State again this year. No, they're the Wolverines, dear. Get those cucumber sandwiches that we can bring on board. Yeah, trying to watch the calories. There's no way Utah suddenly turns into a... The shoe is on the other foot now, and they're going to treat Michigan like...
I'm okay with that.
They're the Ohio State.
I'm okay with
Utah
snobbery.
Utah is next year's Ohio State. We don't want to be here.
I'm okay with it. And I'm okay with it because that just means you've set your expectations on so much more. And
Davion Thomas sits in the Rose Bowl because he's going to the NFL. Clark Phillips sits in the Rose Bowl because... Yeah, I don't want to get
I've
hurt.
I've already done that 1 year. But still, I don't care. I'd rather have my team where, you know, we're not happy being second place here. And that's what it takes. I mean, it takes to get to that next level with things, just the right mindset. But if I'm a Utah fan, I can't be disappointed by going to the Rose Bowl. You cannot.
Especially playing Michigan.
No.
That'd be really good. And you know what I like about that?
Have you played Rutgers or someone like that?
Rutgers.
But, you know.
Maryland's first trip to the Rose Bowl.
Look, Wisconsin would be cool.
Yeah.
Penn State would be cool.
Awesome. Kind of ends there. Yeah. It's like after that. Anyway, thanks, everybody. Yeah. It's like, we'll pick and choose which teams. Because if it's a year that Northwestern goes to the Rose Bowl, I know it's still the Rose Bowl. I'm really just looking forward to it. The reason I wouldn't want Rutgers... The same reason I don't want Ohio State again. The entire stadium being red is hard. I don't like. I want to see the distinction of fans. I want to be able to go, oh, the maize in blue is only a third of this stadium. Two-thirds of it is Utah fans.
Do you have 70,000 people go to the Rose Bowl again next year?
Oh, now that's a good question.
If you're in the Rose Bowl.
The answer's no. The answer's no way because people went, honey, we spent $4,500 just on the Airbnb for those for that week. You know, whatever. You have a lot of people who go, I did it last year. They might go again next the year after. I don't know. Maybe Utah fans are different. They go, no, I'm going. And again, the price is a lot of it, right? Where you just go, going to California is not nearly as bad as you know, going to the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. I mean, it's just absolutely easier. Now, it gets more expensive, but that's a really good question. I don't think you do. I bet you see a drop-off in people making the trip because they go, yeah, we did that last year, and that was really fun, but, man, that took it out of us, and that was a lot of money or whatever. So I think the average fan would do a double take at least on Utah playing Michigan in the Rose Bowl. What if it was Michigan or what if it was Utah-Ohio State again in the Rose Bowl? That one people would definitely.
If Utah's going to show up?
Yeah. No. I'm saying, no, that's a good rematch. I mean, that's how they do show up.
I think the fans will show up for that. Yeah.
All right. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. When we return, we got a lot going on. I don't want you to miss any of it either. We've got our what are the odds around the corner? We've got tons of stuff to get to. OC's going to join us in about 15 minutes, like I said. The chase to the FedEx Cup starts this week with the St. Jude's Classic on the Golf Channel, brought to you by Uinta Golf, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. Great partnership this year with Uinta Golf and all of these amazing golf tournaments. Man, I want to see if Tony can win that big pot, man. Let's go. Let's get this thing going. We'll come back. What are the odds next right here? 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.